by your prayers again tonight. The thought that I'd like to present to us is saying yes to God. We were created, I believe, by the Lord in His image, meaning that when He made man, He gave him the attributes of righteousness, of holiness, of right thing. There was nothing in him defiled. He made him, and that's the way God is. But He made us His crowning creation. Of man, He said, of all the creation, He said, it is good. But when He got through with man, He said, it is very good. He made man, and He gave him something that He didn't give any other part of His creation. He gave him a will to choose, to be able to choose things in life. You recognize that, don't you? You recognize the choice that you make on a daily basis, the choices you make about life, what you decide to do, where you decide to go. We recognize that, I think, pretty much. Jesus in the garden came down through all of His life. He knew what it was about. But never did He deal with it, hardly in advance at all. But there come a time that He said, my hour has come. And the fact that God's way is always best. It's always best. But God don't force His way on us. He many times only presents it. He only presents it to us as an option. But there's always an option for something else. Jesus came down to His hour, He said. Now He's going to have to make a decision. Even Jesus made a choice, though He was the Son of God. He made a choice. And He recognized, and I think it was for our good, but He recognized that the choice was coming. My hour has come. The very thing I was sent to this earth for is come to that hour. And He said, Lord, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass by me. You know, we have the option of praying like that. I think we have the option in any trial that we face to say, Lord, let this cup pass by me. When you don't feel like that's the situation that you can go through, or you feel like that you're going to be taken advantage of or possibly destroyed, or whatever you may think of it, we had the option just like the Lord did. He went to the Father and said, Father, if it be possible. In other words, is there another way that your plan can be fulfilled? Is there another way to get to that? But you know what He did? He prayed to gain the strength and ability to do what the Lord wanted him to do. And not my will, he said. Nevertheless, it doesn't matter, Lord, in that sense, but thy will be done. It was in Hebrews 11, it was a part of the expression that said, for the joy that was set before him. The joy of fulfilling his Father's desires, wishes, plans, that God's approval and pleasure, when He said to the disciples, this is my beloved Son, hear ye Him, the beloved, the one that does the will of the Father, was upon Him, and it was the joy that was set before Him. He endured the cross, suffered the shame, but He made a choice. He said yes. And it didn't just hold like that. My point here in this is that saying yes to the Lord isn't always easy. It wasn't even for the Son Himself. It took a powerful resignation of Himself. It didn't come through haphazard life. It didn't come through just happened to fall into it, it come by a diligence. A diligence that got him there. But he said yes to it. The one that cares for us and loves us too. That was part of the joy that was set before him, because God loved us and wanted us to be saved, and he wanted to fulfill that, no doubt. Adam Clark, I got a comment here from him I want to read. He said, "The wicked word of a lying world is in general better received than the holy word of the God of truth." That stirs something in me, because I recognize the truth of that. And I have to ask this question: why? Why would a people receive the wicked word of a lying world before it would receive the word of a holy God? Why is it? What is so challenging? I'll ask you that. What is so challenging to people to have the Ten Commandments put on a courthouse wall? In what way do they hurt any of humanity? How is it going to hurt our children? How is it going to hurt their lives, the quality of people's lives? How are those commandments going to hurt people? They won't. They won't. And yet the world is so against it. More and more as we get closer to the end, I believe we're going to see it more and more. And we definitely are seeing it in our world, to where they are more and more. And there would be a time that if it was done in their country, we all would have blushed. And now it's being done openly. It's being done with a boldness, right in the face of our culture, and denying God and ridiculing His people and anyone that would dare to follow or dare to believe. And they would rather believe the word of a lying, wicked world. Tell them anything. Tell them anything. I've got great questions about some of the things that they're saying out there today. Great questions about it. Scientists are saying that alternative lifestyle is just born that way. I question that. I question it. They're saying about how the world was created, and how it's billions of years old, and it started from nothing. It started from this gases and all this stuff, and how we got. I question all of that, don't you? But to do that in our modern world would make you a fool. to say openly that, no, I don't believe any of that. I believe in the Word of God. Why they would laugh you to scorn. What a ridiculous person you must be. We live in the 21st century. Where are you at? Science hasn't got the answer. The world's got the answers. We know how to do things and all that. And they believe that. I read counseling all the time, that counsels of marriage, that you come to a certain point and you seek your counseling, and if counseling don't help you, go your way, because you'll never be happy in a bad marriage. Well, I can see the soundness of that in the world, but I'm not going to believe that over the Word of God and what God said was right to do in life. But the world accepts that. And why do they accept it? That's part of my burden tonight, because I want us to realize they're not saying yes to God. And because they're not saying yes to God, something's happening in our world. I've heard it said many times, and people don't like to say it. Back when the enemy of this country flew planes into the World Trade Center, there was a few ministers in the world willing to stand up and say that this could be a result of God's desire to show us that He don't like the way we're going. The Scripture says that the wicked shall be turned into hell and all nations that forget God. That's the Word of God. But you know what? Those men was made to repent of those statements. They apologized to say that was anything. And I said, hold it a minute. What are you apologizing for? The Word of God? Because their critics were saying, you're saying there's a God like that. There was a God that rained down fire on Sodom and Gomorrah. There was a God that flooded this earth one time. It goes down through the history. God has promises to us, many promises. You know, all the promises of God to us are determined on something. He didn't make loose-ended promises. He told the children of Israel, I'll be your God. I'll fight your battles. I'll be with you as long as you make me your God. When you turn your face from me, he said, I'll turn my face from you. When you start saying no, there is an amazing thing about God. He respects the creation that he made to the point that if you tell him no, he accepts it. We think many times of the awfulness of what could happen to us in life. And we think it would be awful to have God move like that in my life. True. It would be awful for the wrath of God, those kinds. You know what the worst thing? You know what the worst thing in the world is? The worst thing that can ever happen to a person is for God not to do anything with you. To let you go your way. That's the worst thing that could possibly happen is when the Lord says, go then. Go. Without restraints, when God does allow things to happen in our world around it, many times it's His great mercy. We don't see it if we're not spiritually minded. If we're not saying yes to God, we don't see what God's doing and working. Oh, Lord, help us in this world. I'm fearful because I see our nation turning away from God, and I hear daily the reports of how they're up in arms now about gun control. Regardless of what you might think of gun control, I'm going to tell you, gun control won't change the heart of a depraved people. We're saying no to God, and the evidence is starting to come out. We've said no to God and God's importance on life. God made life. And we're saying no to it, and it's got its consequences. Since 1973, Roe versus Wade, there's been about going on 60 million babies been killed. I don't think God's appreciating that in His creation, but He didn't stop it. But the things that's happening in our world is a collective effort of years of saying no. We will not bow to your word. We will not accept this as the way of life. I've got my own way of life. Oh, and how God loves us. But I'm going to tell you this. The old illustration is, behold, I stand at the door and knock. I only stand at the door and knock. Where are you? When He stands and knocks. Because that's all He'll do is stand and knock. The illustration is of a door that never was put, the artist never put the handle on the door. Why? Because the Lord's not going to open it. There's no need for a knob on His side. So He stands and knocks at the door. But there's a promise to whoever will open. I'll come in and sup with you. I'll bless you if you open unto me that door, but I'm not going to open it. I simply have stated it. You know, God never did waste a whole lot of time trying to prove who He was. Oh, I'm convinced He's God enough to prove in an instant that He's God. We'd all know it. One day we will all know it, because the Bible declares that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess Him Lord, to the glory of God. One day it'll happen, but it hasn't happened yet. When Moses come before Him and said, "Who am I?" They're going to ask me, "Who are you? Who are you?" They're going to ask me, "Who sent you?" He didn't spend a whole lot of time and theological thought and all that. He said, "I am That encapsulates so much. But he didn't go, I am self-existent. I am eternal. I am everything you need, I am. Everything that exists, I am. Everything that ever was, ever will be, I am. What that says that I am. And we are created by a God like that, and yet in all of that, He gave us an authority that will go over top of that in our creation. I can tell Him no. Isn't that something? I can say no to the Lord. Animals can't say no. They do what they were created. The winds can't say no. The sea can't say no. You remember when the Lord was on the ship and He said, peace be still. And now, immediately the wind died and the sea calmed, because it can't say no to the one that starts it. He's got the ability to stop it. But it wasn't like that with people. In the Matthew, the 8th chapter, I want to just go through the first parts of this and just pick out, so your mind will grasp hold of it, what Jesus had been doing here in the 8th chapter. He said in the 2nd verse, behold, there came a leper and worshipped Him, saying, Lord, if Thou wilt, Thou can make me clean. And Jesus put forth His hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Would that be a bad guy to be around? Well, not if you're a leper, it wouldn't. Then he goes on, and he said, when he had entered into Capernaum, there comes very familiar scripture, there come a centurion beseeching him. And he said, my servant layeth home asleep, or sick with the palsy. And he wanted him to heal him. Now, you remember the story. The centurion, Jesus said, I will. I'll come and heal him. Well, the servant said, I'm not worthy that you come unto my house. Just speak the word only, and it will be done. Well, what a great faith he had. And he understood that he had the ability to heal across from space, and he had an authority in him. And Jesus marveled at the man's that. And the Lord healed that servant. Would that be a bad guy to be around? I'm trying to pick up a negative vibe here. I'm trying to pick up something that would make us not want him. Because the world don't want him. The scripture says that he lighteth every man that comes into the world. Then how come everybody's not lit? Because they love darkness rather than light. And here he went about, notice something. There was a leper. Lepers was to be quarantined. And if you'll read the scripture, they were quarantined. One of the hard things about being a leper was that they had to draw themselves back from society. It was an awful thing because they couldn't even contact people other than other lepers. And you know, notice what Jesus did? He touched him. He touched him. Jesus isn't subject to leprosy. He touched him. He had a compassion and a care. He was able to do it. And the centurion, he spoke the word across the way, and he healed him. There's nothing about the Lord that wouldn't make me want to be with him. He's looking to help everybody. And then he goes on after this and said he went to Peter's house. Peter's mother-in-law was fevered and sick. So he touched her. You go around touching sick people like that? Jesus did. And healed her, and immediately she got up and ministered. Would that be a bad guy to have in the family? I mean, if you wanted an in-law, would that be a bad one to have in the family? Well, this is what Jesus went. Then it says that in the 16th verse, when the even was come, and they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick. What? How would you like to have this feller in the house? Midnight, we talked last night about having a child getting sick in the night and staying up all night. How would you like to have Jesus there in the house with you? Well, I'd like to think we do. We do have him with us. But But wouldn't that be something? Well, they're worried about Mama here. She's been sick and fever, and here comes in Jesus and heals her. Now there's a multitude. Everybody, notice, a leper, a Roman centurion. Wait a minute, this comes to the house of Israel. What's this Roman got the privileges for? Because Jesus loves everybody. Faith works for everybody. My message is, and you don't lose track of it, my message is saying yes to God. What about Him wouldn't we say yes to? I haven't run on to anything yet that I wouldn't want to say no about. The love, the compassion, the mercy of God. What He is and what He does, it's magnificent. The name of Jesus. I read in the, it was on the, I think it was on the internet today. I seen a news clipping, or maybe it was, but there was a, I think it was down in Florida somewhere, if I'm thinking right, a guy, there was a professor down there, and he made, what a hideous thing. He made the students write Jesus on a piece of paper, and then put it down on the floor in front of him, and stomp it. Well, one guy said he wouldn't do it. He wouldn't do it. So he was expelled, kicked out of college over it. What kind of a world do we live in? Why? I mean, what? This professor has an odd against Christ. This guy. The one that healed all that came to him. The one that cast out devils and might put people back in the right minds and the right lives. Why did he say no to him? Why does he hate him? Why does he despise him? Why would you say no to him? Why would I say no to him? Lord, help us. Because the truth of it is, I'm laying a foundation. The truth of it is, I'm not preaching to the world. In a way, I wish I was, but I'm not. I'm not preaching to the multitudes. There just happen to be a little bit of people right here tonight that it applies to. But this one called Jesus, he went around doing all these things. And then he went on and he was in a ship, I think. In the 23rd verse, and it says, "And when he was entered into the ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, inasmuch that the ship was covered with waves, but he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and woke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he saith unto them, Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he rose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him?" Okay. It was the year before last, wasn't it, honey? The F5 in Joplin. April. It'd be 2 years ago in April, I think. Or May. F5 tornado hits Joplin, Missouri. We was there, the next day? We was actually on the way out there when it hit. The most awesome feelings I think I ever felt. Get out there, know that hit, and get out there. And there was actually convoys. Convoys of ambulances. Not one or two like you see on the highway. Convoys of ambulances going towards Springfield from there. Get up there and see tractor trailers late. I mean, just, it was an awe feeling of devastation. And I think it ended up being 163, last count I heard, that actually died from that. But you know what? I marvel. I don't know how there wasn't 5,000 people killed. I think the Joplin area has about 45,000 people population. It went through a very populated area. And only, I am totally devastated too. And no more people that than died than that. And I was amazed at that, and I said, surely God is in these things. And then I heard on the news run it continually, and there was a man that told on there, there was people that told the experiences. One of the experiences was so touching. There was a man that got caught. He was outside, and his little girl was out there, and he pinned her to the ground and just got on top of her and just dug himself down as that tornado swept through there and devastated the whole place. And when he got through, he said, "I was just amazed that we were alive and that it didn't suck us away. We was just there." And he said, oh, how thankful he was. And he said that the little girl said, "Well, Daddy," she said, Did you not see the big butterfly on your back that was holding you? Because he was saying, I don't know how I even stuck down there. And the little girl was down under looking up and said, there's a big butterfly on your back holding you down. Just a little innocent girl. And you might say, well, she was just in fairy land. But maybe she wasn't. Something held them to the ground with a big F5 tornado sweeping through, and they wasn't even harmed. And another story was a guy that he said that he was going to run for his basement. But he couldn't make it to the basement. And it hit, and he wasn't able to make it. And the force of it just took him and slammed him in against the wall in the corner. And the door flew open and back around on him. And when the whole thing was done, he pushes his way out behind the door. And the only thing left of the house is the corner and the door that he was behind. You want to talk about a guy saying, you can believe what you want to, but I'm a believer. Start thinking about God. God spared his life. Over and over and over again, people were saying, God had mercy on me. You won't believe what happened to me. There was a guy that was saved because a milk jug hit him in the feet and drove him back. He was trying to get to his basement and he couldn't get in. And when the thing was all said and done, the house had crushed in on the basement, and he was in the only place that was safe in the whole house. And he said he was drove back by a milk jug that hit him in the legs and drove him back in that storm. And I say that to say this: God is in the storm. Why would you not want him in your storm? Why do they despise him so much? The one that can save you in the storm. That owns the storm. His angels rides the winds. The Lord himself rides the winds. Scripture says that. He rides the winds. It's his. I want him there. I want him there. The one that can help us and bless us. Why wouldn't I want him there? Oh, my mind goes back to the time that I was driving to work one night and I come over this rise and I looked and I seen a guy coming up the mountain and he was off the road by this far, spinning up the mountain. And I thought he was drunk. I thought, oh no, better watch out for this guy because he was really coming up through there. And then as I topped over, I realized what he was doing. The mountain was black ice. You couldn't see the ice because it was clear. But the whole road was just black ice. And when my car hit it, I went down through there completely. It had nothing to do with driving. I couldn't do anything. Brake didn't help. Gas didn't. Nothing. Steering, nothing. I was completely at the mercy of the Lord. And that car would go right over and it was just going and like it was going to go over the hill or hit the guardrails if it was there. But it was just before it did, it didn't. And the car would jump right back across the lane and oh, there's a rock cliff. And then it was like, oh, I was bracing and saying, I, the only prayer I could pray was just a couple words. Well, three, I guess. Lord, help me, Lord, help me, Lord. You know, that's all I ever got out of my mouth. Lord, help me, Lord, help me, Lord, help me. I said that. I went out, Lord, help me, Lord, help me. And right before I hit the rock cliff, I didn't. Slung me back over and right before I went over the hill, I didn't. I did that down through there. I say, Lord, help me, Lord, help me. And all of a sudden the car goes over and there was one wide space. And I'd like to show you on that whole windy mountain down there. There's one place to pull over there. And my car went and stopped right there in that wide spot. Just stopped. Right there. Why would I hate him? Why would the world hate the one that holds their breath in his hand? They do. They do. They say no. Jesus did all this. Calmed the things. This word's a little different here in the country of the Gadarenes. I don't know how you say that exactly. But in the other books it calls it the land of the Gadarenes. So the Lord went to the land of the Gadarenes and he did here. I want to read this scripture. It says there he met two possessed with devils coming out of the tombs exceeding fierce so that no man might pass by that way. And behold, they cried out, saying, what have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time? And there was a good way off from them a herd of many swine feeding. So the devils besought him, saying, if thou cast us out, suffer us to go away into the herd of swine. And he said unto them, go. And when they were come out, they went into the herd of swine, and behold, the whole herd of swine ran violently down to a steep place into the sea and perished in the waters. And they that kept them fled and went their way into the city and told everything that was befallen to the possessed of the devils. And behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus. And when they saw him, they besought him that he would depart out of their coast. What a testimony. What did Jesus go to the land of the Gadarenes for? To bring salvation. To heal their sicknesses. Heal their diseases. Cast out the spirits that was in them. Bring them a better life. Lift up their family. Lift up their friends. Give them a sense of dignity and worth before God again. To bring salvation into their lives with mercy. And a chance of a great life here and eternity with God. He brought all that to the land of the Gadarenes. And what was their response? Please, begging. They besought him. Meant they didn't have power over him. They pleaded with him. Begged with him. Please leave. We don't want your kind here. We don't want the disruption that you bring into our lives, to our family. No, we don't want your kind here. You know what he did? One of the most fearful things in the Bible. He left. His ministry was done. He left this man. You can read it in the other Gospels. I think Mark and Luke has accounts of it. You can read it there of a man named Legion. And this is the same story. The swine was about 2,000. A herd of about 2,000 swine. In the days of the Bible and the Jews, there was nothing more despicable than swine. They were an unclean thing. And these were had the swine. And there's a real lesson here. Why did they hate him? Why did they want him out? He destroyed their swine. I'm going to tell you, he always will. Do you know that? In type, he always will. There is something that always happens when Jesus passes by. He will always perform true to himself. That performance will always be the blessing to the soul and the destruction of the flesh in our lives. It always is. He always demands it because it's contrary one to another and they can't live together. It's an impossibility. And the idea of this is that the great swine, the Gadarenes knew. They knew that the time was over for those kind of things if Jesus remained there because he was changing things. But didn't they see the other things too? Do you know they went and come back out and testified and saw? They said they went and said that they told all that befell the man with the spirits. They told it. They knew what happened to him. In the other books it says that they come back and he found him clothed and in his right mind sitting at Jesus' feet. They could not hold him with chains. He was so possessed that he tried to cut him and kill himself. He hurt himself all the time. They tried to fetter him, chain him together. No chain that they had would hold this man so possessed of the spirits. And yet when they saw a man so blessed, so changed, the mercy of God on his life, they wanted the one that done it to leave. Oh, how typical that's been in mankind's life. All through the ages they've despised the Lord. And the scripture says this, Jesus said it himself, if they despise me, your Lord and Master, will they not despise you? They hated me first. And if they hate me, will they not hate you? Do you know, I find that to be true. One of the most interesting things that I can think of in life is, in my experience in the Lord, is how people will tolerate with anything, almost with anybody, but they will not tolerate a righteous spirit. There is something that stirs them about a righteous spirit. They fight against it. They struggle against it. They say no to it. They ask Jesus to leave. I got another quote here. I think this is another Adam Clark quote. He said, it is not uncommon for Jesus to take people at their word, wish, or desire. You don't have to say it, in other words, Adam Clark was saying. All you have to do is really desire the Lord to leave, and He'll leave. All you have to do is say no. No, Lord. He's a gentleman. When you tell Him no, now it gets down to where we're living. I don't think that this group is of the same nature as the world. I wouldn't claim that. But I do want to say this. In every one of our lives, we face deeper things of God. We face God's dealings with us. I thank the Lord regularly that He's willing to deal with us. He's willing to work with us. I think I need some places for the Lord to work on me. You know any one of those places that I have the privilege of creation to say no? Lord, I've come as far as I'm coming. I've come as far as I'm going to come. The fearful thing to me is that the Lord left their land. He still was merciful. In Luke's account, the man said, Lord, take me with you. I'm saying it in my own words. But he said, Lord, I want to go with you. And Jesus said, no. I want you to stay here and show what great things the Lord has done for you. So, the Lord left. But in His mercy, He left a potential. He left a seed. If those people would have heard and believed, any of them that ever would have come to that place, He left the seed there of somebody that would have told them that account. May have been the children that had to grow up to go to an old man and say what really happened. But God left the potential and the ability for them to be saved, for them to want and desire that. But then they wanted Him to leave, and they wanted Him to leave over to swine, and that just fascinates me, because I want to tell you, that's the way I look at the world. There's swine herders. Swine herders telling the Lord, get out of my life. I don't want your remedies for my life. I don't want your remedies for sin. I don't want your remedies for social problems. I don't want the truth about the thing. Give me flesh. Give me my herd of swine. They heard that. They make it the most important thing. They love their swine above the Lord Jesus and all that He had to bring. They love that more than eternal life. They chose it above it. That was awful to them that they had to lose that great big herd of swine. Oh, that's where it's at, folks. And it's where we'll come down every time to. The challenges that we have when the Lord says, come this way. And when we're saying, I can't go that way. It's flesh. You know what the devil would do if he could to every one of us? There is, in the same creation, the ability that we have to say no to the Lord is also an eternal principle that the devil cannot just run over us, make us do whatever we want to do. If he could, every one of us would be like those swine. They did not have a will. They weren't created with one. When the Lord gave them permission to go into them, and they went into them, they did exactly what they would want to do to every one of us. Because they're nothing but flesh, they have perfect right of way in them. And they, the pure wicked mind of Satan and all of the spirits is to run every one of us to a destruction. A awful, horrible destruction. You know what the safest place to be in this world has ever been? Is in the will of God. It is absolutely, totally safe. Always safe. He always knows best. He's always got the best plan for your life. He's always the one that's there knocking, always pleading, asking us, would you take this step? Would you go into this place? I got an answer for you. What blessings wait us to say yes to the Lord? Oh, how many times I've heard of someone coming to the place that they said, I wanted to get deeper in the Lord, but I knew if I did, the Lord would want me to preach. Oh, it ain't that bad. Listen, if ever there was somebody not cut out for it, it was me. But we ain't dealing with me. We're dealing with God's ability to do what He puts His hands on, the ability that He has. I remember some of the thoughts and things that I went through. And I'll tell you a little bit of my experience. I'm thankful to be saved. That's my main thing. I'm glad God saved me. I'm so thankful for it. And I always just told the Lord, well, when I got saved, to be honest with you, I told the Lord, you saved me, and I'll do anything you want me to do. Now, I want to tell you, don't think that come easy all the time. But I told him that, and I still endeavor to be that way with the Lord. I told him I would. And there came a time that the Lord started dealing with me. And you know, the Lord knows how to deal with you. But I want to back up a little bit. When I was in high school, there was a teacher. Her name was Miss Barney. Miss Barney was the only teacher in school that made that particular class, our sophomore year, give an oral report. 3-minute oral report. She was the fear of the school. You didn't want her. There was two teachers that had that class, and I wanted the other one, and I ended up with Miss Barney. Come the time that you had to write and give a 3-minute oral report, I'm telling you, it was one of the most embarrassing days of my life. I stood up to do that, and I had my report all out, and I was so anxious to get over with that I started talking. I was going to say something like this, and the whole class just erupted. Stopped me right in mid-course. And I had to stop, and okay, and Miss Barney was laughing too, and she ended up saying, okay, Marty, go ahead again. And I started the second time faster than I did the first time. And the whole class erupts in laughter, and Miss Barney says, okay, Marty said, sit down and you can do yours tomorrow. And I was as serious as I could be. I said, they ain't a chance. They ain't no way. I'll give this thing right here, right now, or it'll never be done. All right, go ahead. And I went ahead and done it. Everybody laughed the whole way through it. And I sat down totally embarrassed. You think the Lord's going to have me stand up and say something before people? I never would have imagined it. But I told the Lord, Lord, it wouldn't make sense you'd use somebody like me to do that. But you know, there come a time, and the Lord knew what he was doing to call me, and he knew how. Line upon line. Got it till it seemed like it was a natural flow of what I was supposed to be doing, and it just worked into it. God knows how to deal with us, folks. It's the saying, yes, oh, we should never be guilty like this sinful world is of such a degrading attitude towards the Lord. Ain't going to listen to him. I'm not going to do and believe what he says. You know, sometimes people write things and say things, and most of the time I compare it to the Scriptures, and there's times, I'm so glad of this, there's some times that I'll get something on my mind, and I'll get into the Word of God, and it clears that thing up for me, and I'll read that, and how pure, and how holy, and how right, and how wholesome and good the Word of God is for my soul. How much it makes me feel, how comforted it gives me. A reassurance about what things are. You know, I think the wicked will be turned into hell and every nation that forgets God. But God ain't going to forsake one of his trusting children. No way, no how he's going to be with us all the way to the end. All we got to do is trust in the Lord. I'm going to tell you what, he'll make a way where there's no way. Out of nothing will come something. Out of no power will come the ability to withstand the great things. I've seen it. I've seen those that seem like they was the weakest, the most incapable among the saints. That when the time came, they had the most grace of anybody that I ever saw. It just seemed like God poured out the ability to go through their sickness, their diseases, their problems with such fortitude and power. It was the Word. It was God's ability to work in their life. Oh, that we would say, yes, Lord, here's my garden, Tom. Lord, thy will be done. My time. We're all going to face things. I don't know how we're all going to die, but we're all going to face it. Unless the Lord comes back and takes us out that way, you're going to bury me or I'm going to bury you. And there's a grace for it. There's an ability of God to see us through all of those things. Thank the Lord that there is. But you know where those things? Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, I'll go down that road that you want me to go down. I want to use one more scripture. Over in John, 6th chapter of John. It's 53rd verse of this chapter says, then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is the bread which come down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna, and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. These things said he in the synagogue, as he taught in Capernaum. Many therefore of his disciples, when they heard this, said, This is a hard saying. Who can hear it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, Does this offend you? My question tonight is, does this offend you? What is the limit of what you're willing to do for the Lord? What's the limit? Where's the place that you say, I'm not walking anymore? If that's what it costs, it's too much. They didn't understand this, I don't think. But they said this is a hard, it's impossible to digest. It's too much for me. I don't want to be a part of something like this. And he said they walk no more. Does this offend you? What and if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It's the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak to you, they are spirit, and they are life. That's what we're after. That's what the thing that the world's missing. Do you know it's possible to read the Bible and remember it and never know what it means? It's the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth you nothing. The flesh that run into the sea over there in the land of the Gadarenes, it profits you nothing. Oh, people, you're putting your hope on the wrong things. You're putting your life in the wrong things. The very Son of God comes to your land to heal it, and you run him off because you're not willing to accept the life. I know why people don't want to believe that the Lord created the world, because if God did it, then there's morality goes along. Do you know morality comes from God? How would we know how to act if the Lord hadn't said, Thou shalt not covet? We wouldn't know. It was the law that brought it. It was the understanding that God gave man the way he ought to live that brings morality. And because people don't want the morality of it, they don't want to acknowledge that there's a God. It's easier that way. It costs me nothing that way. That way, if I want to be a certain way, I'll be it. Live and let live. Eat, drink, and be merry. Live my life that way and never assume that I have to be kind to my brother, or I have to look after my sister, or I have to feed the poor, or I have to have any kind of morality. I'll let myself go to every desire and lust of my that I want to, because there's no God. I don't want there to be one. Why? Because he lighteth every man into the world. That's why. And every time he lights something up, it shows me for me. I don't like to be thrown out. See? And he said, it's the Spirit that quickeneth. Don't you know that the flesh profiteth you nothing? For Jesus knew that from beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray him. And he said, therefore, said I unto you, that no man come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. Now listen, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. They was people called disciples, followers of the Lord. It wasn't not one of the 12, and it wasn't even the 70, but there was many disciples of the Lord. These disciples hearing this and knowing the cost. What's it going to cost? It's like a cup. Do you know that a cup, if it's full, it has to be emptied to put anything in it? That's what the analogy is. In order to fill that glass up with the things of God, it's got to empty out of the things of self. Jesus does both works, but he can't leave them the same. When he comes in to bring the Spirit of the Lord in, he's going to remove out the flesh of it. That's why they walk no more with him. Going to cost me something to do that. I thought we was out here for the bread and the cheese. I thought we was out here because you fed 5,000. I thought we was out here because you was going to be king of Israel with the crown on your head and you're going to take care of the Romans, and I wanted to be one of them being there with you. I had no idea you was going to come in here with this talk about loving your neighbors yourself. I didn't know you were going to come in here with the kind of thing that said the way you conquer the Romans is to love them. Don't try to tell me that. What are you talking about? Eating your flesh and drinking your blood. Suppose they didn't know what he was talking about. What a blessing. He was saying, in order to have it, you're going to be like me. You are what you eat and what you partake of. And you partake of me, you're going to be like me, and you're going to be meek and humble and lowly. And they said, I don't want that. What are you talking about? Give me the sword. Let me die with it in my hand. But to humble myself before my enemy, forget you. Forget you. For my swine to run off into the sea? No way! I ain't getting rid of my pork. I'm keeping it. You're a destroyer of the pork, and I'm not going to let you destroy those things in my life. That's what the Lord's come to do. Destroy those things. Because it's the pork that's going to get you. It's the selfishness that destroys families and homes and destroys mothers and daughters and destroys husbands and wives. And that's what destroys. It's what the Lord came to heal and to change. But you know, in the middle of it all, there's one thing that remains. It's whether I say yes or not. It's my option. The Lord made a plan of salvation, and I don't have to accept it. From that day, he said, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then Jesus said unto his 12, will you go away? Will you also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we are sure, and we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of God. Of the living God. That was the answer. Peter answered for all 12 of them and said, maybe he was saying the other thing, I don't understand what this is going to cost me either, Lord. Old Peter sure had some pork left, I know that. That whole deal with denying the Lord and all that, he still had pork left. There was still a lot for the Lord to work on there. But I'm going to tell you how Peter died by history. They went to crucify him, and he asked them not to be crucified upside right like the Lord was. But they asked a favor that they would crucify him upside down. And they did. Peter died traditionally, they say. He died by being crucified upside down. By his own choice and will, he wanted to always show the Lord that he meant it. And he died upside down. But boy, did he die with victory. He's going to die one way or the other. But he chose to make it harder on himself because he didn't feel worthy. And I think he was still saying, Lord, I still believe you. I still believe you. I'm still willing to get rid of the pork. I'm still really willing to follow you. Thou art the Christ. Well, where are we going to go? And again, I'll say to you tonight, to encourage and to challenge. We live in a world that's turning away from God. Are you going to go too? Are you going to say at some point, it ain't worth it to me? It ain't worth it. People coming against me too much. People, I can't take rejection. People are rejecting me. And they walk no more with him. And it's happening, and the world's getting worse. But let's say yes to the Lord. I don't believe that the Lord made a plan to where I have to be some great mind or powerful person. All I have to do is have faith in God and willing to resign myself into His mercy and favor. And I believe that I can have victory. And I believe you can have victory too. Yes to the Lord. Amen.